breakfast time, coffee hour. A beautiful day out there. So really just a few scriptures I wanted to share this morning, some promises that our Lord and Savior gave us directly and that I've read through this week a little bit, been thinking about. John chapter 7, at the end of verse 37, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Second one is in chapter 8, verse 12. And then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jump over to... you know what? I missed one. The very first one. The very first one I intended to read was actually chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Excuse me. So, Jesus has really promised us three things that are pretty critical to life, right? Food, bread, water, living water, and light. Now, if we think of those in a physical aspect, we do need those, but probably a whole lot more in a spiritual realm do we need spiritual food, spiritual living water, and we need his light. And so really, that's why we're here this morning. That's why I'm here. And so let's praise him. Let's all stand, and we'll pray and invite the worship team up. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are the light of life to us. Lord, we thank you that you give us bread that feeds us, Father, and you give us living water that is true sustenance, God. And we want you to fill us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. You guys are already standing. This is great. Let's worship the Lord together this morning. Yeah. Sing, 'cause you pick me up. Sing, 'cause you're there. I can sing, 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath. Sing, for I know that I'll sing. Shine.
be still. There is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith is over me.
Here below, All right. Thank you, Zach. So we have John Cynthia Noble here with us this morning, and I'm Josh. Yeah, I have not done well remembering. I don't remember your oldest brother and second, but that's about who we hung out with. So John and Cynthia, and they have been missionaries that we support for probably longer than I've been here, maybe. I'm not sure. How long? 35, not quite. So 35 years. And he's here, and he's going to share. We're going to give him some time this morning, the last part of sharing time. And he's going to share a little bit about what they're doing, show you some pictures, and then maybe share just a little bit from the Word. And he kind of gave me a little bit of a challenge this morning because he said, I'll share from the Word, but he said, you're going to have to come wrap things up because I'm going to leave people hanging all over the place. And so I'm waiting to see what that's supposed to look like. But I'm going to have John come up, and thanks for coming. It's good to have you here. You can stand up there so we can see you even though you're tall. And he's going to show some pictures, so we're looking forward to hearing what he has.
Well, what that looks like is if you do a crummy enough job of speaking, the pastor has to pick up pieces all over the place. So I was just thinking too, 35 years, you guys have really been dedicated to keep us away from coming back to our home church. 35 years. Because we came down here with my folks, first found this church, and they were bringing cattle to the basin. And we were up by the border, by Canada. And then after a few years, Cynthia and I joined them in a partnership. And then we were here attending church. And so we really enjoyed the fellowship and everything. But this became our home church because we were here 8 months of the year. And we were only in the north by Kettle Falls, Orient, the border up in there for 4 months of the year. So that's how it happened. And then you guys were so excited to have us here and to see us go as missionaries that you just made sure that we stayed out there for 35 years. anyway, we should have some pictures. And then I'll give a little word. So we call ourselves the Caribou Christian Outreach. We're not tax deductible or anything like that. But you are through your church, and so that's how we survive. But I just see that name, and I think that's funny. You know, most missions have a name that means they're attached to the government. Well, we're not. So that was too much trouble. So anyway, we were with a mission, a Canadian mission called the Shantymen for 27 years, and they were an old Canadian mission. They had been in the States, I think as far as Kentucky and so forth, working in outreach to isolated areas. And so, go ahead and change the picture. And so we were with them up in this Caribou Chilcotin area. This lake is actually called the floatplane capital of BC. And we are, as a family, love to go fishing there, but it's also a bit of a center of the area. In the background, you can see some mountains, and those are volcanic Ogacho mountains, and it's a big area. There's people that live beyond the mountains. If you've ever read the book Grass Beyond the Mountains by Pan Phillips was a story who the book was about, but anyway, those were the mountains, and they came from this side, the Anaheim Lake side, and traveled into the other side and raised cattle. It was a bit exaggerated, as most cowboy stories are, but anyway, it's a lot of people have read that book, Grass Beyond the Mountains. Anyway, visitation is a main part of our work, just the one-on-one reaching out. Where there are no, a lot of the people don't go to church. I mean, there's like three churches in this one area. They probably total 60 people, something like that. Well, And none of them have a full-time pastor right now. And so we try to work with them, and I try speaking once a month. That's about what I seem like I can handle well. And anyway, you know, when we got out of Bible school, I was just thinking, we went to Prairie for, got a 4-year bachelor's degree, and then the church was without a pastor right here, and they thought that since I had been to Bible school, I might make a pastor. But I don't know how well you guys would do with one sermon a month. Anyway, visitation is a big part of our work. Go ahead. And we have a little plane, a little float plane. It's Super Cub, and we fly out because a lot of those places, that's the best way to reach them. And right now it's on skis, and I'm trying to get, when I get home, trying to get back into some of these areas, because the winter time is a very good time to fly, because the lakes are a perfect runway of ice. You may have a couple feet of ice, and it's really good, okay? And then we take this magazine. So we've started producing this magazine, and during COVID, we went as high as 70,000 on one edition because we would mail them into homes. This one, the last one, is about 10,000, and I don't have any, but I usually give them out. And it's like got a testimony of a Haiti fellow that was saved. He used to actually work with us. He was musical and was saved out of alcoholism, and his story is there. I'll try to leave this magazine in the back along with some other literature. There's a lot there, and I hope you'll take it and maybe pass it out. That just helps us, helps that whole ministry of getting the gospel out to people. I'll leave this up there, and the first person to get there can have it. I don't know if I've got any more. But we give out maybe 1,000. You can see them under my hand there. This is a native hotel and a wood carving of a caribou, which the area up there is named after. Okay? This is at one of the native villages at Kitimat, clear out at the coast. Okay? Another native band there with their story poles there that tell the history of the areas, Kispiaks. Okay? And then we go into these cowboy churches, because in the beginning, back in 93, we started doing cowboy churches because we discovered that the people flood into those from all around the areas. And Williams Lake is one of the largest in Canada. It was the third largest. And there will be about 12 or 15,000 people would attend during a 4-day rodeo. This is the earliest rodeo of the season. It's an indoor rodeo. They take the ice arena, fill it with dirt, or a foot or so of dirt, race barrel horses and everything. This is out in the lobby, and we've been holding cowboy church there for many years. Now, we've got one coming up in April. So I've been talking a lot with Brother Eric here, and he supplies me with materials, cowboy materials, through a world champion calf roper who recently passed away, Jeff Copenhaver. And so we give those out as follow-up, because a lot of people will accept the Lord in these. We bring in special speakers and so forth. This is a group that's from the Horsefly Community Church. That's Josh up there playing the keyboard. And three girls from one family. And the man playing the guitar is from the church out in the Chilcotin, and it's about a 4 or 5 hour drive from where we live at Horsefly, and we try to preach there once a month. And but he's a really good song leader, and so they all worked up some good music for that rodeo last year. Okay? This is the bigger rodeo, the one I was telling you about, this Williams Lake Stampede. And like the population that flows, that considers Williams Lake its like economic shopping point, is about 70,000 people. So there's a lot of people, and there's a lot less churches in Canada. So with the churches in Williams Lake, I would say maybe 500 people would attend on a Sunday morning. And so, you know, you're not really touching the population that much. And so a lot of people will come to this cowboy church, and this is like held on Sunday morning of the rodeo. It's always around Canada Day, which is July 1st. And these are a bunch of young people playing fiddle and performing at that cowboy church. And we might have 200 or 300 people there at that cowboy church in the grandstands. Okay? And this is a gospel music jamboree. And we've been doing this out in the Chilcotin. And it's at a Cochin Lake. It's a beautiful area with the coastal mountains starting right there. So it's just very beautiful. I don't have pictures of the mountains or the lakes or anything there. But this is four families that came out of Alberta to sing at that gospel music jamboree. It's pretty small, and we're not sure if it's going to happen at that place this year. It might be at our own place because now we have moved on to beside a lake so that we can use the airplane and have our horses there. But anyway, this is Gospel Jamboree. I think we had one person except the Lord, which is highly unusual. It's usually more. And then at the end, we have a baptism. Okay, go ahead. And so this is a fellow that had got saved the year before. He's actually a neighbor of ours near Horsefly. And that's the evangelist over there. And he has been here to speak to you guys. Crystal Clear Ministries, Herb Taylor. And I highly recommend him. He's just, if there's a good crowd there, there'll be a lot of people that accept the Lord. He's just gifted. He's out of near Red Deer, Alberta. That's me, John the Baptist, over here on the right, and I get a big thrill out of that, putting him under, except this guy wouldn't go down. He had some kind of a fear of the water. He just froze up. We finally ended up Presbyterian baptizing him. Okay. And then, okay, this is our family. Yeah, I was so surprised by a 40-year wedding anniversary get-together at our place. And so I doubt if you guys remember any of these kids, but there's 8 boys that we have, and our girl is on the right. And the boys are mostly across the back, and these are the wives and grandkids all mixed in with them. But just a blessing. I feel like Father Abraham, shooting for the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Up to 24. How many grandkids do we have? 24. Coming like popcorn. What did Pa Kettle say? It's just like shelling peas. Okay. Except I would never get away with saying that in the arm's reach of one of the gals. That's right. Okay. This is, so we had a vacation Bible, we had a vacation Bible school there for all the grandkids. And they really liked that. So that's some of our, Stephen playing the guitar, he is actually in Germany. And I think this gal in the striped shirt is his wife. It's hard to tell from the back. But anyway, so he's a worship leader over there in a church in Germany, and they have lots of the refugees from Ukraine and so forth they work with. Actually, my son-in-law, Mary's husband, is from the Ukraine. He's associate pastor in northern BC with my other son, with Jimmy, and he just brought two of his sisters and the one husband over as refugees from Ukraine. Anyway, go ahead. Okay, that's the little sister that he brought from Ukraine, Anya. She hardly knew any English, and she's doing well living in the home. So the little kids are doing their VBS racing there. Okay. And Mama, we did a Mission Aviation Fellowship Vacation Bible School. Okay. And then we've always often had a young men's horse ride, but that kind of petered out as all our kids left and all their friends weren't there for the horse ride. Josh is the only one left at home, but this is from the church where we attend at Horsefly, and so we started up this horse camp, and they're bringing wagons to it for all the people that don't want to ride a horse, okay? It's at the camp, okay? Riding horses. Josh is second from the right on a huge workhorse there. Okay. And that's that sermon I preach once a month. Okay. And the parade at Williams Lake, there'll be like 10,000 people in that one parade. So you've got like 3 minutes in a presentation going through that parade. In the past, we've given out a couple thousand pieces of literature, and there's lots of East Indians and other faiths there, people that don't go to church. The float is based on come to Cowboy Church, okay? Okay, and then this is one of Josh's lambs, and it's just a reminder that when Abraham took his son Isaac up the mountain to do as God had requested, God was testing him. It was like, do you want to be on the team or not? And I'll ask you for your very best. In fact, I'll ask you to trust me beyond your mind, because I have said that you're going to have children like the and great amount of descendants and everything, and now I'm asking you to sacrifice your only son to me. So when Abraham went up that mountain, he had no idea what was happening. For 3 days, it was a picture of Christ. 3 days in the grave, because this son was as good as dead in Abraham's mind. And just before the sacrifice was made, and the son had said, you know, here's the wood, and there's the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham had said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. And that's exactly what happened, even in the very place. Remember, Abraham for 3 days had looked for this place in the mountains of Moriah. And that's exactly where David met the angel, the death angel, and bought that harvest floor so that the death and destruction would stop in Israel. That was at Moriah. That was where Solomon built the temple. I don't know the exact spot. May have been the exact spot of Calvary. But it was all a total picture. And because Abraham did that, God promised him great, great blessings. I think I'll read that. See, I'm going to mess up your sermon, Jason, and then you're going to have to pull this together somehow. So, God said, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven. Thank you. Heaven. A second time and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will indeed multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand that is on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the gate of their enemies. Through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And part of that offspring was the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, from the tribe of Judah. And so huge blessing when we abandon our plans sometimes, ourselves, when we give ourselves wholly to a God that is nothing but love, He blesses us. He will bless us as much as He possibly can. And later on in Deuteronomy, Moses talked to these, there was well over a million people that were already descendants. And he's talking to them. He says, know therefore today and consider it in your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Therefore, you shall keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command you this day, so that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and so that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God gives you forever. And that's the kind of God we serve, and it's totally because of the Lamb that we go and we serve in another country. I'm not saying we're totally suffering like we could be in other countries, but Canada is very needy. Everywhere is needy. There's way more need than we can begin to fulfill, but you do your part. And then in Revelation, it talks about that Lamb that we are sharing and talking about. I saw a Lamb in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, standing as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So I'm hoping that even you and your children that will be always maintaining a mission's attitude, you know, to go into all the world, because there are people out there from every tongue, every tribe, every nation that God wants in heaven with Him. Amen.
Thank you, John. That was good. It's always good to hear what the Lord is doing. And as I was thinking and preparing this week and going back to Acts, and then I knew John was going to share a little bit, and then he throws out a challenge of trying to pull up all the pieces and put them back together. And so now I'm sitting out here, and I'm like, hey, honey, can I have your pen? Because I need to write something different. But I appreciate what you're sharing, and I appreciate the consistency and the steadfastness, the perseverance, because what you guys did is you moved up there and you lived life. You've lived life up there among those people for a lot of years, a lot of years. What are we doing here? We're living life. We're living life among the people that we associate with, and we're doing the same thing. You don't have to go all the way across the world, you can do it right here. And so John is sharing pictures of what they're doing, which is great. Great. It's amazing. They've raised their family there. He started quite a thing with that one picture. You got a lot of kids, a lot of grandkids. That's cool, though. God has blessed them because of their consistency. And the thought that came to mind, we had the opportunity to go over to Missoula this week and listen to Mark Gunger in person. I don't know if you've ever heard him. But there's one thing that he was saying. He talks a lot about marriage, and it was a really good, refreshing time. But there was a verse that he read that as I was thinking about this morning and knowing that John was going to share a little bit, I didn't know what you were going to share exactly. But there's a verse that I was thinking of that is Philippians chapter 4, and it's a verse that's very familiar, that we've heard a lot, we've recited it a lot, we've quoted it a lot, and we all have it memorized. It's Philippians chapter 4, but I'm going to read 10 through 13. And it says this, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then 13 is the one that we all know. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that's the one that we pull out, and that's the one that we memorize, and that is true. But let's look back at what Paul has learned leading up to this verse. He says, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." He says, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." You know, as we live life, one of the things that we heard this week when we were going was that he showed us a verse that would fix everything with marriage, and that is that it is better for a man to remain unmarried. But then the next verse says, "But there's benefit, there's positive things to getting married. There's positive things to the way that we live life. There's a lot that we can learn from what Paul is saying. There's a lot that we can learn from what John is saying this morning in just living life and being content where we are. Being content in the position that we're in. Being content in the community that we live. Being content even down to the house that we live in. "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." Have we learned? This is Paul sharing that he has learned, but have I learned to be content? And I just look at John and Cynthia, as I've known them for a long time. I'll never forget being up at their place, and I don't remember where you were living at the time, but we would go up there, and Aaron Carlson and I, and your two oldest boys were just slightly younger than we are, I think. And we would go hide. We climbed up this big, huge tree, and we were hiding from them. It was not nice. I don't know why we were just hiding from them. And they couldn't find us, and I don't think they ever did. I think we finally came down. It's a memory that I'll never forget, being up at their place. And I was probably a teenager, if I was that old. But they have been there. They have been persevering. They have been continuing through. Has everything always been good? No. There's been hard. There's been difficult. And in your lives and where you're at and in my life and where I'm at, there has been difficult. There has been hard. But if we read what Paul says, it says, "Even in every situation that I have found myself living, I have learned to be content. And not only that, I've also come to know and recognize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that's amazing. That's powerful for us to grab onto and to latch onto. And so we do latch onto that last verse. But let's not forget what's setting that last verse up. Yes, we can do all things through Christ. But are we also learning to be content? Are we also learning to be okay with where we are in life? Are we okay with it? Are we always wishing for what might be? Paul could have always been saying, "Well, man, if we've been reading through Acts and some of the things that he had to go through, and you know, if he didn't have to get beaten with rods or thrown in prison in the and put in stocks. You know, if we didn't have to do that, that would just be amazing if we wouldn't have to go through that. But you know what? God still had a plan through that. He still had a plan through that. There's one thing I'm not going into what I was going to talk about except for this one point. We have been reading through Acts, and Paul, every time he goes into a city, he goes to the synagogue and he starts preaching. And usually the first thing that was read in the synagogue was Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. And it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And I'm going to have you say that with me a couple times this morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Again, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that where we are living and the times that we are living in and the things that we are experiencing, good or bad, do we really truly believe that the Lord our God, the Lord is one? He is the one and only true God. What John was talking about with Abraham going up the mountain, he didn't know what was going on. As far as he knew, his son was gone, and God was going to use some other way to bring his descendants, but he didn't. God knew what he was doing. God had a plan. Do we truly believe that God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one? To remind ourselves every day on a daily basis that. When we meet next week, we will do that again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What is it that you're facing this week that you have to work through that maybe God is saying, you know what, I need you to be content where you are, or you know what, I need you to remember that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It might not mean that everything is going to go just exactly the way that you think it should, because I will stand here and tell you that it probably won't. It just probably won't. We live in a world that is broke. But it doesn't change the fact that God is still God. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. He knows what's best for us. And if he has us living here, doing life together, if he has us living up in Canada, doing life with people there, it really makes no difference. It's the same God that we serve. And that is what is so exciting about having people like John and Cynthia come and share, because they're doing the same thing that we're trying to accomplish here. And that is to share the love of God with everybody that we meet. To share the love of God with everybody that we meet. John only preaches maybe once a month, but that's all right. He visits a ton of people. He visits a lot of people. That's his gift, is to visit with people. And he uses it. What's yours? What's your gift? Talked to Joel last night after the auction, and he said, "I'm a creature of habit." He said, "I find a job that I like to do, and I do it." And I'm like, "That's awesome, because it needs to be done." What's your job? What's your job in life that God has called you and asked you to do? And then we need to learn to be content with that, because God has given each one of us gifts and strengths. And it always looks like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And so we always want to do something different. And the problem is sometimes we're not very good at it. But we want to do it anyways because it looks like it's more fun. I haven't had too many people think that being the auctioneer at the auction was fun. But there are things that look like they're a lot of fun. But you know what? This is where God has called us. This is where God has called you. And let's learn to be content right where we are. So John, Cynthia, thank you for coming. Thank you for the example that you have set to us. We're not supporting you, so you'll stay up there. That's where God has called you to live. And that's where God has called you to raise your family. And for where we are, if this is where God has called you to live, let's learn to be content with where we are. And then we hang on to the verse that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Stand up with me if you would, please. Father, we thank you so much for your love this morning. Father, I thank you for John and Cynthia being here and being willing to share and just their experiences and the life that they're living and the people that they're ministering to there. And Lord, but help us to remember that the people that we are ministering to here are every bit as important to you. Father, I pray that you would guide us this week as we go and as we share and as we live life. I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that we can point people to you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. And I just pray for your continued wisdom and direction as we serve you. And I pray that people seeing us this week can know that there's something different and that it's you that's the difference. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be dismissed. John and Cynthia will be here for a little bit. I'm sure if you want to say hi, ask questions, they're here to ask questions for. Have a good week.